This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It's hard to pay for the necessities of life on $7.25 an hour. President Barack Obama recently proposed that $10.10 be the new minimum wage nationwide. Here in the Tar Heel State, the minimum wage is not showing any signs of increasing without a federal mandate. In Asheville, an organization is doing what they can to help working people make a living wage and to create a just and sustainable economy in Western North Carolina. Here to tell us about the efforts of Just Economics is Executive Director Vicki Meath. Hello, Vicki.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Tell us about Just Economics and what's behind it. What are you trying to do?
Great. Well, Just Economics is a small nonprofit organization here in Western North Carolina. And our mission is to educate, advocate, and organize for a just and sustainable local economy that works for all. And we have primarily worked towards that mission by promoting the idea of living wages. We've done that through our three areas of work, which include policy advocacy, our voluntary living wage employer certification program, and community education and leadership development.
Let's talk more about that living wage. You've calculated the living wage at $11.85 an hour. First of all, how do you come to that figure?
We use the universal living wage formula to determine that figure. The concept of a living wage is basically that a single individual would be able to meet their basic needs without public or private assistance if they were working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. And there's different ways to calculate the living wage. The one that we've chosen fits our area, we believe, and that's the universal living wage formula.
Do you have any sense kind of what percentage of the workforce in Western North Carolina is working at less than that wage?
Well, we have some numbers. We think that about a third of the workforce is actually living below a living wage for their family size. I'm not sure that is actually below $11.85, because we look at a living wage for your family size as being over 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. And we know that about a third of the people are in North Carolina, actually, are living below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines.
And as you said before, that means what you're talking about there, a living wage would allow people to live without any other assistance and to provide for the needs that an average family of that size would need. So then how do you go about, if you've got a third of, say, the workforce not making that, how do you go about getting local businesses to agree to that, to agree to pay that wage?
Well, we talk to local businesses about the moral aspects of a living wage and what it means for your workforce, the people that work for you and really run your business, to be able to meet their basic needs and be able to provide for their families, and what that means to value work and workers. But we also talk about the business benefits of that. We know that when workers are paid more, that businesses save money on recruitment, training, development, and retention, and productivity. We know that when workers are not constantly looking for another job because they're struggling to make ends meet, that they stay with you longer, and a worker that's been there 2 years is certainly more productive than someone that's been there for 2 weeks. So we talk a lot to businesses about the different aspects of paying a living wage and what that means, not just for your business, but for that worker and for our community.
You certify businesses then that agree to do that, right?
Yes, we do.
So, and what does that certification mean? Does it mean anything? Do you find that it has value, or that the companies who sign up value that certification?
We do, and we also find that our community values that certification. And we have a very active iShop Living Wage Certified campaign. So consumers are actually choosing businesses that are providing a living wage for their workers, because we believe that, you know, we can vote with our ballots. Maybe once a year, depending on who we are, we vote with our dollars nearly every single day, and we can choose to vote for the type of community we want to live in.
But when
go ahead. Sorry.
Please finish.
Oh, I was just going to say that, in Asheville and Western North Carolina, we also work in Transylvania County. We have about 40 employers down in the Brevard area. But that many members of our community are choosing living wage certified businesses because they're voting with their dollars.
voting with their dollars, but they also spend with their dollars. They sustain their businesses with their dollars and have to stay in business. And, you know, like it or not, we have evolved an economy that is decoupled from our morality. We can't afford to be moral because we have a responsibility to shareholders. We have a responsibility to stay alive. And it is primary in the codes and charters that start these businesses. So what do you say to businesses that say, I'd love to, we can't afford it, and we have a responsibility to this business to sustain ourselves. Can't afford it, won't do it.
Well, I think that oftentimes we need to separate the small businesses in our community whose owners are members of our community and are struggling to make ends meet themselves. And many of them want to be living wage certified. And so we work with them if they can't make those numbers work initially to figure out, is there some progress that we can make towards that? There are some businesses, much larger corporations that would say we are beholden to our stockholders and that type of thing. And we know that those businesses can afford it. We know that the large corporations, the corporations like Walmart and fast food industries are making record profits, and inequality is growing at a drastic rate. And that argument simply doesn't hold water anymore. So there's a large difference for us in working with small businesses versus large corporations.
How many businesses have you signed up?
We are close to 400 businesses.
We are
the largest living wage certification program in the country. There are several other going and several other that are about to start. And this past year, we worked with a national organization, Interfaith Worker Justice, in the Tompkins Worker Center out of Ithaca, New York, to create a certification toolkit for other communities. So what we're doing here in Western North Carolina is being looked at across the nation as an example to support the right thing, which is something that I value as working in this type of work, that I work for an organization that supports the right thing instead of constantly trying to protest or work against the wrong thing. It's a different type of approach.
We are talking about efforts to bring a living wage to Western North Carolina today on The State of Things. Vicki Meath is with me, Executive Director of Just Economics. When you find that businesses refuse, you've signed up 400. I'm sure you've talked to many, many more. What do they tell you? Why do they feel they can't sign on?
Well, there's a variety of reasons, just as there's a variety of different businesses and a variety of different viewpoints from business owners. Some of the business owners that we talk to can't make the numbers work. It is a difficult economy, and it's difficult for small businesses, especially businesses that are put at a competitive disadvantage by large corporations. So we understand that. That's why we take a supportive approach instead of an antagonistic approach. Some businesses don't believe in the philosophy, and some businesses are working to get there. And then there's some businesses that just really don't understand the living wage concept.
You have an example. You talked about working with businesses that might struggle to do this financially, and I think you have an example of a local co-op that figured out a way to do it rather creatively.
Yeah, we're really proud of our friends at the French Broad Food Co-op. They've raised wages without raising their prices, and they did that significantly and are very happy to be promoting them. We're very happy to be promoting them, and that took a little bit of working through with them, but their staff was committed to doing that.
You talked about the fact that you're the largest organization doing your kind of work. Others around the country are looking to you for examples. And you also said that companies are often at a competitive disadvantage. You're working within an ecosystem that's very, very large and that privileges capital over labor. And so do you have to fight the big fight at some point, or can you do this kind of one battle at a time from the localities where you find yourself?
I think that there is extreme value in creating local models And that's what we're doing here in Western North Carolina. We're creating a model of success. Many of our businesses have provided that anecdotal data about or anecdotal information about how their certification or paying higher wages has improved their business, has helped them in the things that I discussed earlier in terms of retention, training, saving costs for recruitment and training and development.
You know, Henry Ford made the same argument, who was no one would accuse of being a socialist until he decided to raise wages for his workers and the rest of the industry, then did, in fact, call him a socialist because he was raising wages. He said, I keep a workforce, it's cheaper for me in the long run, and they called him dirty names. I don't know if you know, you're in good company.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is that we have been taught by our society to go against common sense economics, right? In terms like with buying the whole trickle down economics argument, which is a fallacy. Really, the real job creators in this country are low and middle income people because our money is circulating in the economy, whereas people at the upper end of the income spectrum, their money is more stagnant. Low income people, middle income people, we don't typically have forward investments in places where we stash our money. Our money is going into our local economy. So if more people are able to buy pizzas and you're a local pizza shop owner, you have to hire more people to make those pizzas. So we are the job creators, low and middle income people. And I think that it's really interesting and important for us to change that argument.
Good to talk with you, Vicki.
Thank you so much.
Vicki Meath, Executive Director of Just Economics in Western North Carolina, spoke with us from the studios of WCQS in Asheville. Just ahead, we're going to hear about the fight to bring a labor union to Robeson County on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.